Good morning and welcome to our podcast. My name is Peter Jennings and I am the marketing executive here at Sintons. I am joined today by my colleague, Victoria Armstrong, who is a partner in our healthcare team specializing in commercial real estate matters. Our podcast today will last approximately 5 to 10 minutes and is the first in our new series of top tips for GPs. Today, Victoria will be discussing the impact on surgery premises following the changes to GP partnerships. So without further ado, over to you, Victoria.
Thanks, Peter. As Peter said, in this podcast, I'll be giving you an overview of property considerations where there are changes to a partnership. It's important that any GP partnership obtains professional advice when looking to change the composition of the partnership or deal with the surgery premises. This includes both financial and legal advice from properly qualified individuals with experience of dealing with NHS partnerships and property. Most practices are aware that whenever there is a change to the partners making up a partnership, it's essential to properly document those changes to ensure liabilities are clear between the ongoing partners, new partners, and any retired partners, and to avoid lengthy and usually costly disputes from arising following such changes. Any formal partnership agreement in place between the partners will often contain provisions specifically relating to the treatment of surgery premises upon changes to the composition of the partnership. It's important to consider the application of those provisions where any changes occur to avoid missing deadlines and also to avoid potential disputes. We've found over decades of advising GP practices on their legal requirements that surgery premises is very often overlooked when changes occur within a partnership arrangement, or very often shelved to be dealt with at a future date. We've advised countless partnerships experiencing the fallout of undocumented partnership changes or inappropriate advice from advisors with insufficient NHS experience. In order to determine the correct action to be taken in respect of surgery premises on changes to a partnership, a practice should really be familiar with the current position. A GP surgery premises will generally fall within one of two categories, either freehold property, which is a partnership asset, or leasehold property, for instance, where the property is leased by the partnership from a third party, often an NHS organisation or retired GPs. Turning to freehold property first, as a partnership is not a separate legal entity in its own right, in most cases, individual partners will hold a fixed share in the property. They'll be holding the property on trust for themselves and remaining partners in the partnership. And for that reason, it's always a good idea to have specific provisions within the partnership agreement establishing the responsibilities of each of the partners and allocating liabilities relating to the property. Ordinarily, four named individuals will hold the freehold property as trustees on trust for themselves and the remaining partners in the partnership. The terms of this trust will usually be set out in the partnership agreement. However, it is advisable for all partners to enter into a separate declaration of trust, which will contain more detailed provisions relating to the surgery premises and any changes to the partnership composition and therefore trustees. The documents in place should specify what happens to a partner's share in the surgery premises upon retirement of a partner. This would often be that any retiring partner sells his share or her share in the surgery premises to the continuing partners of the partnership, and the continuing partners may also be under an obligation to buy that share within a specified time period. Those provisions do need to be properly drafted, however, to avoid any issues around automatic buyout in situations where it's not financially feasible for any remaining partners to purchase that share. Where a change does occur in a partnership, the surgery premises would need to be transferred from the existing partners into the names of the ongoing partners. This ensures that any retiring partners are able to exit the business cleanly, and it also ensures that surgery premises remains within the bounds of the ongoing partnership and therefore under its control. There may well be security held against the property by a lender in the form of a legal charge or mortgage. Where that is the case, the consent of the lender would be needed, any change in the individuals named as mortgagor or borrower within the partnership. It would be advisable to double check with your lender the specific names involved. Ordinarily, this would not present a difficulty on the basis that security is usually based on the notional rent reimbursement that the practice receives under its NHS contract. However, problems can arise here where partnership numbers diminish, and it's always worth opening discussion with your lender at an early point before any retirement. Turning to leasehold property, a huge number of you will occupy surgery premises owned by a third party. In most cases, but by no means all, there will be a lease in place setting out the terms of that occupation. As with freehold property, a lease will be held by up to four individuals on behalf of the partnership. The liabilities and responsibilities in respect of that lease should be dealt with in the partnership agreement. The lease will set out steps that must be followed where the practice wants to update the names of the tenant. It's likely that the individuals named as tenant on the original document doesn't reflect the current tenants at the moment, as there may have been an updating exercise over the years. You'll need to check for any ancillary documents to that lease, such as transfer deeds, deeds of assignment, licenses to assign. Most well-drafted GP leases will allow for the assignment of the lease between partners without the requirement to obtain formal landlord's approval. There may, however, be a proviso setting out a minimum number of GP tenants required at any one time, and this is usually a minimum of two GPs. Notwithstanding the fact that approval wouldn't be required, the partnership would not be able to assign the lease unless and until that requirement has been satisfied.
In a well-drafted document, any outgoing partners would also not be required to provide any guarantee for the ongoing performance of the lease terms by the succeeding partners. In reality, not many retiring GPs looking for a clean break would be willing to do this, as it does mean that the GP does not leave the practice free from ongoing liabilities. Where a standard commercial lease is in place, it is likely that the landlord's formal consent will be required before any release of a retiring partner can be completed. This may not pose a problem, but it could delay the matter and will be more expensive to deal with. Where a commercial lease is in place, it's also likely that the landlord would require a guarantee from the outgoing partner in respect of the ongoing performance of the lease terms by the succeeding partners. As mentioned previously, this wouldn't allow for a clean break for those retiring GPs. And for that reason, we would always recommend having your lease reviewed by an NHS specialist solicitor ahead of any planned retirement, so that all parties are clear on the requirements and any possible alternatives can be discussed. A final point to note is that the practice would be expected to pay the legal costs of the landlord in relation to the grant of its consent, and it's worth bearing that in mind when budgeting for the costs of dealing with these changes to the partnership. We would urge any partnership that is planning for any upcoming retirements or admissions or any changes in property ownership to obtain advice at an early stage from qualified professionals experienced in dealing with NHS partnerships and GP practice premises.
Thanks, Victoria. We release our webinars, podcasts and blogs on a regular basis, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk. You can also follow the healthcare team on Twitter, and their handle is @SintonsHC. If you wish to raise any questions following today's podcast, you can contact Victoria on 0191 226 7878, or you can email her victoria.armstrong@sintons.co.uk. Thank you very much for your time. Hope you tune in for the next episode.